Thanks for listening to the Jerry Bader Show podcast presented by Amish Furniture Warehouse in the New London area. Check them out today at amishfurniturewarehouse.biz.
Closed captioned for the reality impaired. It's the Jerry Bader Show.
Ten oh six. Didn't see this in time to share it before 10 o'clock. It's an email concerning the video recording of a college professor at a community college in Orange County, California. She apparently went on an anti-Trump screed, saying it was his being elected president was an act of terrorism. By whom is unclear. A student recorded it, subsequently suspended because there are rules against that. I don't think there should be. Receive this from someone who says they teach in a college setting. Hi, I teach in a college setting, and we are required to create a safe classroom. Some students find taping of the class an unsafe environment because what they are saying or contributing in the class discussion may come back to them. I'm required to let students know that the class is being taped, so students do need to let me know that they are taping the class. Well, okay, fair enough. My response to that is this. If you know that there's not a rule against video recording, then you know you may be recorded. Here's the slack that, here's what I would say. It is fair enough for students at any given time to be told they are being recorded. I think that is fair. I, however, do not think that at the college level, there should be a problem with it. And we are talking at the college level here, not elementary or middle school or high school, which I think are all very different matters. I think there is a way to do this. There is a way that you can say, look, you may be recorded. We allow video recording. I don't want to get redundant on this. There should not be an expectation that what is said in a classroom, in a public setting among adults, is going to stay in the classroom. This is nothing I ever considered. I chose my words carefully. Now, I can do the stream of consciousness thing with the best of them. Not quite President Trump, but with almost the best of them. And I did that at times in the classroom, and I thought about it. Oh, it's, you know, you do have to be careful. I never felt that I had any protection of any kind from saying something stupid. Then again, I am someone who's been on the radio for many, many years. So I never have an expectation of what I say not being out there for public instruction. Well, it would be completely different depending on the topic. Yes. If a professor had brought their faith, their religious faith, into the classroom, we'd be having a whole different discussion right now. But here's where I would be consistent. I wouldn't have a problem with a student recording it. Yeah, he was implying they would be glad it was public, you think the caller was. I wouldn't, and I wouldn't. Now, here's what I will say. I don't think a college professor should be proselytizing in the classroom. Students don't go to a college classroom unless it's a religion course, and even then they don't go to be proselytized. They go to be taught what that religion is about in an academic sense. I don't think you can go into a public college classroom as the professor and preach and try to bring people to walk with God. I don't think that's appropriate because that's not what they're there for. And you know, so that would be a whole separate issue. All right. Where'd I go with that? There was a notable passing over the weekend, Saturday. Norma McCorvey. Who's Norma McCorvey? You know her better by a pseudonym, Jane Roe. She was the woman behind the 1973 Supreme Court ruling Roe v. Wade that legalized abortion. She died Saturday at the age of 69. McCorvey died of a heart failure in an assisted living home in Katy, Texas, is it? According to journalist Joshua Prager. Prager is writing a book about Roe v. Wade and told USA Today he spent hundreds of hours with McCorvey. McCorvey, who went by the pseudonym Jane Roe, challenged the constitutionality of abortion laws in Texas in 1971. At the time, it was illegal for women to have abortions unless their lives were at risk. The case made it to the Supreme Court, where the justices ruled it was legal to have an abortion because of a woman's right to privacy, protected under the 14th Amendment. There is no such right to privacy anywhere in the 14th Amendment or anywhere else in the Constitution. The ruling came too late for her to have an abortion, and she gave the baby up for adoption. For a time, she was an abortion rights advocate. The Ivy League East Coast abortion rights leaders, quite frankly, used her. When they no longer had use for her, she wasn't of their ilk. She was a more earthy person. They had it with her. Now, there are those that claim that is why Norma McCorvey switched sides and became a staunch pro-life advocate. I can believe that the snobby East Coasters did that. By the way, I'm not saying all East Coasters are snobby. I'm saying in this particular case, Ivy League, East Coast, there's East Coasters and there's East Coasters. There are different flavors of Bostonians, for example. There are Bostonians and there are Bostonians. That's true everywhere. She became an anti-abortion activist and actually filed a motion in Dallas in 2003 to have the case overturned. She alleged there was new evidence that abortion hurt women in 2004. An appeals court in New Orleans dismissed the motion. Anti-abortion groups mourned her death Saturday, and this is where I want to go with this. She was victimized and exploited by abortion ideologues when she was a young woman, but she came to be genuinely sorry that a decision named for her has led to the deaths of more than 58 million children. Father Frank Pavone, national director, I think that's how he pronounces his name. I see it on news release after, it could just be Pavone, national director of Priests for Life, said in a statement, "Norma's conversion to Christianity, then to Catholicism, was sincere, and I was honored to be part of that journey. I am sorry that she won't be here to celebrate with me when we finally abolish legal abortion in this country, but I know she will be watching." Norma McCorvey, RIP, she discovered the lie the early feminists understood. Abortion is not liberation. That's Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. NARAL Pro-Choice America gave McCorvey credit as someone who lent her story to the case that legalized abortion. Norma McCorvey lent her story to a court case that changed history and aided women in gaining control of their destinies. "We wish her family peace in this moment of sorrow," James Owens, a spokesman for the abortion rights group, told USA Today. I also have the news release from Priests for Life, but I think I pretty much shared it. What I would say is this. This strikes me, comes very close to home for me. Because I once supported abortion rights. A couple of things that I won't get into it here changed my position on that. The one thing that I hope doesn't happen, but I suspect that it might, is that people question her motives in her change of heart. It clearly was a change of heart. She had a religious conversion and eventually to Catholicism. Her heart changed on the matter of abortion, and she became to believe that she, in fact, was a pawn and that she was used by those who didn't give a rat's behind about her, but used her to advance a cause. She came to regret that. I'll go a step further. She came to repent. And because of that, ultimately, her life should be celebrated. And I'll leave it at that. I will leave it at that. On to other things in 5 minutes. It's 10:17.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.